Chapter 23. It had been a year since I had stalked through that labyrinth of snow and ice and killed a fairy with hate in my heart. My family's emerald-roofed estate was as lovely at the end of winter as it had been in the summer. A different sort of beauty, though. The pale marble seemed warm against the stark snow piled high across the land, and bits of evergreen and holly adorned the windows, the archways, and the lampposts. The only bit of decoration, of celebration, humans bothered with. Not when they'd banned and condemned every holiday after the war, all a reminder of their immortal overseers. 3 months with Amarantha had destroyed me. I couldn't begin to imagine what millennia with high fae like her might do. The scars it'd leave on a culture, a people. My people. Or so they had once been. Hood up, fingers tucked into fur-lined pockets of my cloak, I stood before the double doors of the house, listening to the clear ringing of the bell I'd pulled a heartbeat before. Behind me, hidden by Reese's glamours, my three companions waited, unseen. I'd told them it would be best if I spoke to my family first, alone. I shivered, craving the moderate winter of Valaris, wondering how it could be so temperate in the far north, but everything in Prithian was strange. Perhaps when the wall hadn't existed, when magic had flowed freely between realms, the seasonal differences hadn't been so vast. The door opened, and a merry-faced, round housekeeper, Mrs. Laurent, I recalled, squinted at me.
"May I help?"
The words trailed off as she noticed my face. With the hood on, my ears and crown were hidden, but that glow, that preternatural stillness? She didn't open the door wider.
"I'm here to see my family," I choked out.
Your father is away on business, but your sisters..."
She didn't move. She knew. She could tell there was something different, something off. Her eyes darted around me. No carriage, no horse, no footprints through the snow. Her face blanched, and I cursed myself for not thinking of it.
"Mrs. Laurent?"
Something in my chest broke at Elaine's voice from the hall behind her. At the sweetness and youth and kindness, untouched by Prithian, unaware of what I'd done, become. I backed away a step. I couldn't do this. Couldn't bring this upon them. Then Elaine's face appeared over Mrs. Laurent's round shoulder. Beautiful. She'd always been the most beautiful of us, soft and lovely, like a summer dawn. Elaine was exactly as I'd remembered her, the way I'd made myself remember her in those dungeons, when I told myself that if I failed, if Amarantha crossed the wall, she'd be next. The way she'd be next if the King of Hybern shattered the wall, if I didn't get the Book of Breathings. Elaine's golden brown hair was half up, her pale skin creamy and flushed with color, and her eyes, like molten chocolate, were wide as they took me in. They filled with tears and silently overran, spilling down those lovely cheeks. Mrs. Laurent didn't yield an inch. She'd shut this door in my face the moment I so much as breathed wrong. Elaine lifted a slender hand to her mouth as her body shook with a sob. "Elaine," I said hoarsely. Footsteps on the sweeping stairs behind them, then,
"Mrs. Laurent, draw up some tea and bring it to the drawing room."
The housekeeper looked to the stairs, then to Elaine, then to me.
a phantom in the snow. The woman merely gave me a look that promised death if I harmed my sisters as she turned into the house, leaving me before Elaine, still quietly crying. But I took a step over the threshold and looked up the staircase. To where Nesta stood, a hand braced on the rail, staring as if I were a ghost. The house was beautiful, but there was something untouched about it, something new compared to the age and worn love of Rhys's homes in Valaris. And seated before the carved marble sitting room hearth, my hood on, hands outstretched toward the roaring fire, I felt like they had let in a wolf, a wraith. I had become too big for these rooms, for this fragile mortal life, too stained and wild and powerful. And I was about to bring that permanently into their lives as well. Where Rhys, Cassian, and Azriel were, I didn't know. Perhaps they stood as shadows in the corner, watching. Perhaps they'd remained outside in the snow. I wouldn't put it past Cassian and Azriel to be now flying the grounds, inspecting the layout, making wider circles until they reached the village, my ramshackle old cottage, or maybe even the forest itself. Nesta looked the same, but older. Not in her face, which was as grave and stunning as before, but in her eyes, in the way she carried herself. Seated across from me on a small sofa, my sisters stared and waited. I said, "Where is Father?" It felt like the only safe thing to say. "In Neva," Nesta said, naming one of the largest cities on the continent. "Trading with some merchants from the other half of the world, and attending a summit about the threat above the wall. A threat I wonder if you've come back to warn us about." No words of relief, of love, never from her. Elaine lifted her teacup.
"Whatever the reason, Feyre, we are happy to see you, alive. We thought you were..." I pulled my hood back before she could go on.
Elaine's teacup rattled in its saucer as she noticed my ears, my longer, slender hands, the face that was undeniably Fey.
"I was dead," I said roughly. "I was dead, and then I was reborn. Remade."
Elaine set her shivering teacup onto the low-lying table between us. Amber liquid splashed over the side, pooling in the saucer. And as she moved, Nesta angled herself, ever so slightly, between me and Elaine. It was Nesta's gaze I held as I said, "I need you to listen." They were both wide-eyed, but they did. I told them my story. In as much detail as I could endure, I told them of Under the Mountain, of my trials and Amarantha. I told them about death and rebirth. Explaining the last few months, however, was harder, so I kept it brief. But I explained what needed to happen here, the threat Highburn posed. I explained what this house needed to be, what we needed to be, and what I needed from them. And when I finished, they remained wide-eyed, silent. It was Elaine who at last said,
You want other High Fae to come here? And the Queens of the Realm?"
I nodded slowly.
"Find somewhere else," Nesta said.
I turned to her, already pleading, bracing for a fight.
"Find somewhere else," Nesta said again, straight-backed. "I don't want them in my house or near Elaine."
Nesta.
Please, I breathed. There is nowhere else, nowhere I can go without someone hunting me, crucifying me.
And what of us? When the people around here learn we're Fae sympathizers, are we any better than the children of the blessed, then? Any standing, any influence we have, gone. And Elaine's wedding.
Wedding? I blurted. I hadn't noticed the pearl and diamond ring on her finger, the dark metal band glinting in the firelight. Elaine's face was pale, though, as she looked at it.
In 5 months, Nesta said, she's marrying a lord's son. And his father has devoted his life to hunting down your kind when they cross the wall.
Your kind.
So there will be no meeting here, Nesta said, shoulders stiff. There will be no Fae in this house.
Do you include me in that declaration? I said quietly. Nesta's silence was answer enough. But Elaine said,
Nesta.
Slowly, my eldest sister looked at her.
Nesta,
Elaine said again, twisting her hands.
If we do not help Feyre, there won't be a wedding. Even Lord Nolan's battlements and all his men couldn't save me from them.
Nesta didn't so much as flinch. Elaine pushed.
We keep it secret. We sent the servants away. With the spring approaching, they'll be glad to go home. And if Feyre needs to be in and out for meetings, she'll send word ahead, and we'll clear them out. Make up excuses to send them on holidays. Father won't be back until the summer anyway. No one will know.
She put a hand on Nesta's knee, the purple of my sister's gown nearly swallowing up the ivory hand.
Feyre gave and gave for years. Let us now help her. Help others.
My throat was tight and my eyes burned. Nesta studied the dark ring on Elaine's finger, the way she still seemed to cradle it. A lady. That's what Elaine would become. What she was risking for this. I met Nesta's gaze. There is no other way. Her chin lifted slightly. We'll send the servants away tomorrow. Today, I pushed. We don't have any time to lose. Order them to leave now.
I'll do it, Elaine said, taking a deep breath and squaring her shoulders.
She didn't wait for either of us before she strode out, graceful as a doe. Alone with Nesta, I said,
Is he good? The lord's son she's to marry?
She thinks he is. She loves him like he is.
And what do you think?
Nesta's eyes, my eyes, our mother's eyes, met mine.
His father built a wall of stone around their estate so high even the trees can't reach over it. I think it looks like a prison.
Have you said anything to her?
No. The son, Grayson, is kind enough. As smitten with Elaine as she is with him. It's the father I don't like. He sees the money she has to offer their estate, and his crusade against the Fae.
But the man is old. He'll die soon enough.
Hopefully. A shrug. Then Nesta asked,
Your High Lord, you went through all that. She waved a hand at me, my ears, my body, and it still did not end well. I was heavy in my veins again.
That lord built a wall to keep the Fae out. My High Lord wanted to keep me caged in.
Why? He let you come back here all those months ago.
To save me. Protect me. And I think what happened to him, to us under the mountain, broke him. Perhaps more than it had broken me.
The drive to protect us at all costs, even my own well-being. I think he wanted to stifle it, but he couldn't. He couldn't let go of it.
There was much I still had to do, I realized. To settle things. Settle myself.
And now you are at a new court.
Not quite a question, but I said, would you like to meet them?